Hare Krishna. It's good enough, no? So, see in the verse number 4, there is a last part of the verse. Aham Bija Padahapita. And the verse before that, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham. So, very beautifully Krishna develops these verses. He's saying that, I only created this material world and I have Garbham Dadamyaham. I only gave all the living entities by my looking at the spiritual sky and picking them up and putting them in the material world. Saha Aishata and Saha Asrijata. And then, now in first time in this chapter, Krishna is introducing about the three modes now. You see, in the Mahatattva, time is introduced. After that, the gunas are introduced. When time is introduced, there is change. When gunas are introduced, then the behavior is decided. How each living being will behave differently. Based on the gunas. Because time implies change. Like you can see, somebody having jet black hair, gradually it grows whiter. Similarly, somebody having a plain body, it becomes wrinkled body eventually. Similarly, from Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam, Krishna says. So these changes are made possible by only time, flow of time. Now, similarly, the three gunas are being introduced here. Proper use, first time here using the word here, conditioned. See, what is the meaning of conditioned? For example, you keep a running race between a horse and a dog. Who will win? Yeah, naturally, no? Naturally, a horse will win. It can go faster. But can the horse be proud of running faster? Why he can't be proud? Prakriti kriyamanani. That's the meaning actually. The Prakriti awards different type of bodies to living entities. Who can do different things in a particular body? Living entity is same only. Similar type of living being. For example, imagine if you sit in a, the small car, you have seen that, pedaling car. How does the car move ahead? You have to pedal. Correct, no? A pedaling car like that. Or if you are sitting in a scooter, the functioning of the scooter is different. Correct, no? Or you are sitting in a bicycle, so you have to pedal the bicycle like this. Correct. Or when you sit in a car, you have to press the clutch. So the operation function is different for the movement of the vehicles also. Correct, no? Similarly, the horn also sounds different. In a car, bomb sound comes. In a lorry, different sounds come. Correct, no? Similarly, one place in one another purport, Vimudanana Pashyanti Pashyanti Jnana Chakshu, in that verse purport, Prabhupada is saying that when a living entity is seated in a particular body, a dog can only do barking. He just barks. Or rats make different type of noise. Birds make different type of sounds. And their behavior in different bodies is different. It's like you want to play a chess game, it has got its own rules. You can't take a pawn and, do like this, like you do in a carom. Similarly, in carom, the method of playing game is different. You cannot take one of the coins and put it in the hole like this, like you move a pawn in a chess game. Every body has a different type of rules, which one has to follow. Like in a bird's body, a living entity can fly. Whereas in an animal's body, a living entity has to walk on the ground. Correct, no? In an aquatic's body, the living entity can swim. Correct, no? So, these are all called as conditions. The conditions are laid on the soul. A fish can only swim. It cannot come out of water. Similarly, a dog can only walk. It cannot fly. So, there are restrictions for every living being put in a certain type of conditions are put. You have to speak like this. You have to bark or you have to walk like this. And you have to eat this kind of food. Like pig is conditioned to eat only one type of food. You see? Every living entity is conditioned for a certain type of food. In fact, the eyes and the nose and the tongue and the ears and skin are designed by the material nature to fit the desires of the living being. That's why he likes certain type of food, certain type of sights and everything. So, this is actually one meaning of the word conditioned. Like we say, if it is very cold outside, you can condition this room to a certain temperature. Correct, no? Say now if it is -5 or -10, you can make this room temperature 20 degrees Celsius. So you heat it with a heat pump. or in summer season you cool it with a with a cooling mechanism, air conditioning mechanism, correct, no? So why we call it conditioned, this room? Because this room's conditions are different from the climate, environment, correct, no? So we call it conditioned. Similarly, every living entity is uniquely conditioned in a particular type of body. Which is not natural for him. Because actually his natural position is to be free in the spiritual sky. In spiritual world, we can fly also. You hear the siddhas are flying, you heard in the Bhagavatam? Yeah. We can fly, we can walk, we can swim. There is no restriction in spiritual world. Whereas in the material world, we are conditioned with the body. Restrictions are put on the living being. So now, the restrictions are not only physical, they are also psychophysical. So how the restrictions are psychophysical, that is explained in the next few verses we will read. Krishna will explain about how, in the different type of conditionings are also, there are three types of conditionings. Some living being is conditioned to goodness, somebody is conditioned to passion, somebody is conditioned to ignorance. But the amazing thing is, this is a choice made by the living being. He has to choose. Then accordingly, he is given the body with certain type of conditions. We'll recite one more verse. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukhasangena badhnati jnanasangena chanagha. Oh, sinless one, the mode of goodness being purer than the others is illuminating and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. Yeah. Actually, now Krishna is beginning with the best of the three modes, which is the sattva guna. Then he will explain in the next verse rajoguna, and then subsequently tamaguna he will explain. And also he explains the characteristics of each mode. How can one know one is in which mode? Here he says two words, sukha sangena and jnana sangena. So these are the two drawbacks of sattva guna that Krishna explains. Sukha sangena badhnati, he says. One becomes bound by the happiness that comes from the mode of goodness, which you will explain. And jnana sangena also. Because one is illuminated, wiser than the common populace, then one can become proud also. So, but this is actually a material qualification. It's not a very spiritual qualification. That is explained. So, because the knowledge that the living being possesses is ultimately coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all knowledge. The living being possesses a little understanding of his situation and he can become very proud. So before that he says, prakashakam, anamayam, those two words he uses also. He is illuminating. And he also is saying that it is without any sinful reaction. He explains in the beginning. So prakashakam, illuminating means, later on also Krishna will explain, the sattva guna illuminates all the senses. What does it mean? Like your eyes are glowing, ears are glowing, nose is glowing, mouth is glowing. Everything, some light is there, illuminated. What is the meaning of illuminating us? Who can say? Attractiveness to what?
Somebody may become attracted to you because of knowledge.
One becomes attracted to knowledge. The senses can help us to fulfill the purpose of life. Very good. That's very close to what I was looking for. See, our senses, when tinged with sattva guna, or rajo guna, or tamo guna, they behave differently. They behave differently. How? For example, somebody's eyes are tinged with rajo guna, they look for a different type of happiness. Those senses. Say, like we were cooking the regular prasadam for brahmacharis and we were feeding the employees also, those who are working workers, you know, those who are heavy duty workers. So they found it too mild. They said, what is this? So then we told them, now you don't have to take prasadam here, you can bring from your homes. So they bring from their homes now. Because they work hard also, they require different type of food. Correct now? Huh? Yeah, they require shakti for their body. Yeah. So they take different type of food. We take sattvic type of ahar, which is good for, our devotional service. Correct now? But they have to take rajasic type of ahar is very fit for them, and they also work very hard also. Correct, no? Different type of... So the foods that they eat, for example, they may eat very thika. They may eat very hot and very spicy, floating in oil and things like that. One may eat. When they pass also, it's burning. And they eat also, it's very hot. Correct, no? Yeah. And also it produces a certain type of body also. Certain type of vigor in the body also. So that those things Krishna will tell later. What type of foods are in sattva-guna? What type of foods are in tamaguna? What are in rajaguna? He will say like that. So, the senses appear similar, but they actually, what they look for is different. Like for example, the senses of one in sattva-guna, that is looking for wisdom. That's why the examples Prabhupada gives in this purport are like a scientist or a poet or a philosopher. Gives example for a kind of person in sattva-guna. A scientist, he tries to study the world around and he wants to acquire some knowledge of how the things are functioning. What is this world and what is happening where in this world? From the atom, he is studying up to the cosmos and everything in between. He is trying to study, analyze, come up with hypothesis, come up with research thesis. He is trying to understand and study. Why they want to study the nature, anybody knows? Why scientists want to study the world around? What will they do with that knowledge? They want to?
Research.
Okay. Why do they want to research?
They want to know more about the creator and other things, how it is.
Yeah. They want to manipulate nature and control it to give them pleasure. Correct, no? Say, for example, sun is very hot now. So, if you can manipulate nature and find out how to control the temperature, then you can make air conditioner and you can lead a happy life. Sense gratification. That's what they are trying to research the world around. But the research gives them some kick because they come up with some discoveries. What all are existing around. They didn't know electricity before. Now they know electricity. Similarly, whatever they didn't know before, so that knowledge what they get, the scientists are researching. So they are wiser than the common masses. Correct, no? Similarly, a poet actually may write rhythmic poems. Or nowadays, Adhuni Kavita has no rhythm only. I looked at the sky, sun was setting and the moon was rising. All the stars are like rowdies who are winking at the moon and things like that. They write like that, And then when people clap hands, wah, wah, what is that? Or they will say, rich people's homes, even the windows are wearing nice dresses. But the child in the slum doesn't have any dress. They say like that. You have seen, People say, wow, what a thought, So this thought is very striking for people, Correct, no? So people in goodness, they enjoy this kind of haiku kavita and all this, Adhunik kavita and things like that. So a poet sometimes brings up a thought which a common man, it may not strike the head of a common man. But when he writes, it may be many times you find it has nothing to do with spiritual also. It's mostly mundane material. Or somebody is talking about the poverty of somebody. It arouses compassion in our heart. Somebody writes a poetry. So that's why Prabhupada writes the scientist, the poet and the philosopher also. The philosopher is an inquisitive person who tries to analyze the world by understanding. There are six systems of philosophy, all concoctions. Jaimini, Kannada, and Vaibhashika, this kind of philosophies also. So, but those people, they use logic, they use research analysis, they use the buddhi. But sometimes in this research, what they do, they find out ways to tackle their emotions also. Like modern day people, there are many soft skill seminars being given. How to live in the present. You know, how to not think of the past, how not to think of the future. Just live in the present. And they give you many techniques how you can live peacefully without getting insulted by others. Without bringing God. There are many people nowadays offering courses. You can see like that. So, these are also included in pious people. But actually, when Prabhupada says pious, he has included these people so that people will understand. When we talk about pious people, actually the pious people are those who are supposed to follow the laws of God, ideally speaking. Krishna will tell about that. You will see that amongst the three gunas, the sattva guna is considered best. Amongst the three. And that's why he's saying, tatra sattvam nirmalatvat, he's saying. Being purest in the material world. Nirmalatvat, he says. And Prabhupada explains here. He becomes wiser than the others. Is not so much affected by material miseries. Because he lives a life wherein sattva guna one follows all these four regulative principles. One doesn't eat meat, one doesn't... That's one problem in India in preaching. Sometimes you tell people, see, if you eat tobacco, you'll face problems. And so a person will say, I never eat tobacco. Like I went to one house of one famous Agarwalji. So they had a Radha Krishna deity in their home. So I told him that these four regs we have to follow. They're already following the four regs. They don't eat meat. They don't even eat onion garlic also. They don't take any pan or anything. They lead a very clean life. They have Radha Krishna also. But one thing I found, although they have Radha Krishna deities in their home, they don't know what is bhakti. They don't know the science of bhakti. That is there as a status symbol in the home. You know, yes, people, the boga is offered by the lady in the home in a very dutiful manner. But they don't know who is Krishna. They are not, see, a bhakta means one who gives his heart to Krishna. He is a devotee. But those people give, other than the heart, they give money and they give so many other things. In this way, sometimes people in sattva guna are very difficult to preach to because they already think we are all right. Everything is all right with us. You know, although their philosophy often is be good and do good and don't harm any living beings. You know, be kind to everybody, be courteous, be polite. Sab log theek hain. Aap sadhu bhi achhe hain, wo sadhu bhi achhe hain. Sab sadhu achhe hain. And they think like that. So, one can become very, very complacent in the platform of goodness. That's why he uses the word badnati, he's saying. Badnati means what? It's a very nice platform to get stuck. Stagnation can happen in sattva guna. And now, why the stagnation happens also is explained. See, when there is, like hippies were suffering from terrible misery when Prabhupada met them. And they wanted somebody to save their lives. Some of them are dying actually because of too much drugs. And they were also hankering for happiness for which they didn't know how to get their happiness, everlasting happiness. So Prabhupada going at the right time and delivering them and giving them Mahamantra, they took it also. Although they were so much afflicted by passion and ignorance also. But when Prabhupada came back to India in 1977, Prabhupada wrote in one of his letters, he said, the Indians have not yet understood my movement. Hopefully they will understand in future. Prabhupada, Indians are very proud of their Sanskrit knowledge. Indians are proud of that there were people studying Ramacharitmanas in North India. You know, you go to preach to somebody, immediately you will start quoting from Ramacharitmanas, so many verse after verse they have memorized, people have memorized. Some people know the whole Ramacharitmanas by heart also. In Bombay, I was coming I was going to CST. One driver, you know, whom I met in the car, he was quoting so many Ramacharitmanas shlokas. He was telling, "Aap note karlo, main deta hun." I'm Ramachar, I have to note from him. Nice shlokas he's quoting from there. And that is the reason Prabhupada said, these people, they think they know. That is their biggest disease, he said. In the mode of goodness, people think if I chant some shlokas, if I am visiting the temple, if I don't break this bad habits, if I have some connection with God and sadhus, remote also, once in a while also, I am a good person. They have a hell around their head, they think, you know. Thinking like that, they consider themselves very materially complacent, these people. And they are not able to rise above that platform. So Prabhupada was finding this in India, and they worship different demigods, and celebrating different festivals at home. They keep a very nice, apparently holy atmosphere at home, and they have no hankering to go back to God, nor do they have a hankering to understand God also. See, who will want to understand? One who wants to learn. Huh? If somebody thinks they know, then who can teach them? And it's like already somebody's glass is full with milk. You pour more milk, it will only overflow. You know, you will not be able to. So somebody has to, vessel has to be like this. If you keep the vessel upside down, you cannot put anything in that. So when Prabhupada returned to India, he saw that the Indians, they think they already know. But what they knew was only hodgepodge religion. That Prabhupada observed, they were afflicted. Yesterday I went to a book distribution, you know. I went at about 3 o'clock, came back at 7:30. So I went to one shop. Many marble shops are around, all Rajasthani fellows. To my great surprise, they don't know our temple. I said, yeah, you are all 5-10 minutes distance. How you are not aware? One or two fellows said, we saw the Gopuram, we have not gone inside. I said, you are from Rajasthan. Your worshipable Lord is Krishna. You should come. So they said, we are all coming. I took about cards, 15-20 cards I took. But while going, I went to one shop. So that fellow was telling me that, you see, Krishna, Ram and all, you know, their size is only 5 foot or 6 foot. How can somebody who is 5 foot, 6 foot can control all the cosmic activities? How is that possible? That is why Swamiji, आपको थोड़ा समझना चाहिए, आपने 20 साल बिताए हैं, लेकिन आपको शायद मालूम नहीं है कि परम सत्य निराकार है. उससे अनेक निकलते हैं, कृष्ण निकलते हैं, राम निकलते हैं, like that he was telling. Actually, he didn't tell this. He was about to tell this. I told, wait a minute, I'll tell you what you are going to tell. Actually, he was about to tell me, somebody came, customer came, so I waited. Then when he wanted to tell me this, wait a minute, when I told, he was like shell-shocked. यही पता नहीं वाला था, आपको मालूम है क्या है इतिहास में? I said, ये भी मालूम है, इसके आगे भी मालूम है. Then I told him, देखो तुम्हारा हाइट कितना है, तुम्हारा 5 फुट है, मेरा भी 5 फुट है. हमारे प्रधानमंत्री का, प्रेसिडेंट का कितना साइज है? वो 5 फुट से छोड़ रहे हैं वो. Then I told him, imagine if president of India gives holiday for all the schools of India, will all children be happy at home or they have to go to school? What do you think? He said, yes, मानना ही पड़ेगा. He said, if he gives a holiday on his birthday, then whole India will have a holiday. Then I said, can you or I give a holiday? If I declare a holiday, who will hear me? He said, yeah. He said, but yeah, very nice you said. I said, similarly, God may look like you and me, but what are his potencies? And what is our potency? You have to compare the two. Then another example I told him, you see, यू आर सेलिंग सब कुछ प्रकृति से आता है. प्रकृति माता भी है, पिता भी है, भाई भी है, बहन भी है, बंधु भी है. प्रकृति सब कुछ है, अंत में प्रकृति के ऊपर कुछ नहीं है. यू आर सेलिंग एवरीथिंग इज नेचर. सब कुछ प्रकृति से, प्रकृति को हमें आदर देना चाहिए. देन आई सेड, प्रकृति को कौन चला रहा है? ये सर, नहीं नहीं, शक्ति ही अंत में सब कुछ है. ये सर, देन आई टोल्ड हिम, प्रकृति को माता प्रकृति बोलते हैं. वी कॉल द प्रकृति एज मदर, नो, मदर नेचर. वाई मदर नेचर? Because the child comes from the womb of the mother. But then the child cannot be produced by the mother without the father giving the seed. So who is the father? That's the question I asked, which Prabhupada used to ask always. Then I also told him, Shakti can never act independently without the Shaktiman. Like a weightlifter is lifting weight. So he's a possessor of the Shakti, correct, no? Can you take only his hand and hang it somewhere? Shakti? Shakti cannot hang alone. Shakti has to be possessed by a Shaktiman. Not only that, I told him it was a marble shop. I told him, imagine some stone comes flying and breaks one of your marbles. What is the first thing you will do? You will peep out and see who is throwing the stone. Somebody has loaded the stone with energy. And that is the energetic fellow who loaded it with energy and he threw it. He just clapped and he said, very good example, he said. We have dono kitab long. He took Bhagavad Gita also and Krishna book also. Both one copy he took. Then afterwards we went to 4 or 5 shops ahead. He took his car and came there and said, you know, my servant also is asking one more copy. So he took one for him also after that. So, but why I was telling, this person was such a happy man. You will be surprised. And that when I read this Sukha Badnati, I was thinking about that fellow. Sukha Sangena Badnati. Because he has some knowledge of the scripture. First thing he knows, I am not the body, I am the Atma. He knows that the reincarnation is happening. He knows we should not do bad, we should do good. किसी को दुकान नहीं, ऑल दैट ही नोस, बट ही डजंट हैव फुल नॉलेज, बट ही थिंक्स ही नोस. सो इट्स अ ग्रेट डिजीज इन दिस प्लेटफॉर्म, एज प्रॉपर एक्सप्लेन्स हियर, because he becomes wiser than the other otherwise conditioned souls. So he's not so much affected by material miseries. He has a sense of advancement in material knowledge, and then he has a sense of happiness, more or less free from sinful reactions, he says. So mode of goodness means greater knowledge and a greater sense of happiness, he says. And then Prabhupada is saying about scientist, philosopher, poet and all that, then he says each is very proud of his knowledge. And because they generally improve their living conditions, they feel a sort of material happiness, you see. Because the knowledge also brings you happiness. Like scientists create many luxuries and comforts. And anybody who creates anything, they become attached to it also. And they become proud of it also. So scientists create many inventions and they want to multiply them, modify them, develop them. And they become attached to them and they become proud of them also. Similarly, every philosopher may write a book based on his understanding of the world around. Or he may write poetry and things like that. And he becomes attached to them also. Because they generally improve the... And then Prabhupada is saying here, as such, they are attracted towards working in the mode of goodness. And as long as they have an attraction for working in that way, they have to take some type of body in the modes of nature. See, one of the greatest diseases of people who are wiser than the common masses is addiction to speculation and rejection of tradition. This is very common amongst the intellectuals. In the intellectuals, they think that we have to sack the traditional books and everything and we can speculate more. Because they have some brain with which they can compare, they can contrast, they can give critics. Like there are people who do doctorates on Jiva Goswami and Jiva Goswami's writings and things like that. They acquire a degree, they acquire a doctorate degree also, but they have nothing to apply in their personal lives. Once his owner Satsubhadas Maharaj, he came to know that one professor has done doctorate degree in Jiva Goswami's literature. Jiva Sandarbha and everything. So he thought, my Lord, he studied Jiva Goswami. So nice, I'll go and meet him. I'll arrange for him to meet Srila Prabhupada one-to-one personally. So he went to meet this professor in his home. So he batted the door and servant opened the door. When he went inside, he asked, is it so, Mr. So-and-so? He asked him and then that man said, yes. He said, Hari Bol, he said. Maharaj said. And that fellow said, what is it, Hari Bol? He's asking. He didn't know anything. He's a big doctorate. He's got a doctorate in Jiva Goswami. He has done critique on Jiva Goswami. But he has nothing to do with Hari Bol. Bhaktas are very simple. So, and then while talking to Maharaj, he was lighting up a cigarette also. Was smoking cigarette. And one lady came and said, enough, what is this you're talking so long? Come now. And she took him to a party somewhere. So Prabhupada was selling. The Satsubhadas Maharaj said, on that day, I had to change my notion about the great scholars who may even study Sanskrit also. They may study Sanskrit, they may speculate and they may write theses and all these things that has no connection to their giving heart to the process itself. So the bhaktas are actually practitioners of bhakti path. They are not just philosophers or speculators. So this... addiction to speculation is a kind of intoxication also. That is why Krishna, that Krishna's prayer, prayer to Krishna, Brahmaji says one very beautiful verse. Atapite deva padambujadvaya prasada lesha nugruhita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyame kopichiram vichinvan. Shreyashrutim bhakti mudasyate vibho klishyanti yeke valabodhalabdhaye te shamasau kleshala yeva shishyate nanjat yatastu latushavagatinam. These two verses are very important verses. Atapi
ತೇ ದೇವ ಪದಾಂಬುಜ ದ್ವಯ. ಓ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಯುವರ್ ಟು ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಫಾರ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಯು. ಬಟ್ ದ ಜ್ಞಾನೀಸ್ ದೇ ರಿಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟು ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್. ಜಾನಾತಿ ತತ್ವ ಭಗಂ ನಹಿಮ್ನ, ದೇ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮಹಿಮ್ನ ಯುವರ್ ಮಹಿಮಾ. And by stretching and speculating with their minds, they can never begin to even understand you, he is saying. And what is their endeavors like? It's like taking an empty husk and beating on the ground. It's like when you beat an empty husk, you know, you don't have any rice particles inside. It's only beating empty hay. You've seen villages they beat? You've seen that? They beat and remove the grains. But if no grains are there, then what will you get? Similarly, their speculation is compared to taking their brain and twisting it by beating the empty husk. Like that he is saying in this verse. One another aspect of this goodness also is important to explain. You all know the yajnik brahmanas who could not understand Krishna as Purushottama. While their wives went and served prasadam to Krishna, Balaram and all of them, covered boys and everybody. Here comes a very important point. Like when one gets a Vaishnava guru, one gets an understanding which is not possible to be understood by studying even scriptures also. Like you see, today morning one Halai the Prabhu was telling a beautiful example. He said, your friend is writing to another friend, I came to know that you are bedridden, your health is not good, please take care, he's writing. Now mother is writing to your son, beta, I came to know your health is spoiled now, you are bedridden, even I am not there next to you to take care of you. Who is taking care? Please call me back and tell me. So the, both the letters may have similar type of words. But what is the difference between the two? Anybody can say? Between these two letters? You were there in the morning. You were there in the morning? No. You can say that. What is it?
The love and concern of mother is more than...
Much more. Your friend's writing letter is more or less formal. Correct, no? A friend writes like a formality, he writes. Because he is my friend, because his health is not good, it's my duty. He is doing out of duty. Where is the mother? Yeah, she is asking from the heart.
Formality and love.
Formality versus love. That's big. Similarly, the scriptures also, when Prabhupada writes commentary, it's like mother giving commentary. Correct? No, I understand that it's a child. Because he has compassion for the jivas, naturally, every line in the purport will reflect the compassion of Krishna for the jivas. That is possible for the acharya to bring out. Whereas when a jnani writes commentary, he will more or less write commentary like in a non-committal way. This could be possible that, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, no? And like news reporter. You understand, no? How they are likely to write. So there is no juice, bhakti juice is missing. Like our Gopinath Acharya said about Sarvabhattacharya, he was like an oil cake from which oil is extracted out. He said like that. So, that's one reason. First thing a jnani does is takes Krishna and Arjuna and keeps them in the side. You are not required, leave me. I am only interested in the content. And they get... correct. Yeah, correct.
If Krishna was there or no, we don't have to argue.
We don't have to argue. Like, it begins like that. Yeah. And then he says, you take the matter. So Prabhupada said, how can you understand a book without understanding the author? So today morning he was telling a very nice point. He said the deities of the Lord can be understood only by understanding the person who did pranapratishtha for those deities. So devotees always see the Lord in relation with great devotees who worship those deities or who have installed those deities. Because otherwise in the shop also you get Laddu Gopal, In the temple also you have Krishna. What is the difference? In the shop, the Lord is waiting there to be sold by the fellow and made some money. Correct, no? Whereas in the temple, the installed Lord is installed with love by a devotee. So the Lord receives great, offerings by the devotees. So just as the deity should be seen in relation to the devotees, similarly the Shastra should be studied by a devotee who has written commentary like Prabhupada. You see? Then only we can get insight into the Shastra. So one such insight I will share with you. You see, like we say, one should follow the orders of the spiritual master. One should not. What is the third offense against the holy name? To disobey the orders of the spiritual master considering him to be an ordinary man. These two things are said in that. Third offense like that. So once you not dis- now which disciple will say that I will disobey my spiritual master? Generally everybody says, nobody will dare to even say that. Everybody will say, I want to obey. But that is explained very elaborately in Vaishnava literature. What is the meaning of obeying the spiritual master? You see, the spiritual master gives general instructions. The spiritual master gives individual instructions to devotees also. Like for example, the doctor may tell you some generally good practices. Sleep early at night. Rise early in the morning. Drink a full bottle of water in the early morning. If it is a summer heat, you can take charge in the afternoon or something like that. While going to bed at night, you take a cup of milk. This may be general for everybody. But then he doesn't give same medicine for everybody. Correct, no? He calls one by one. Come, tell me your pitta, your kapha, your vata. Accordingly, he prescribes medicine. And patya also he gives. That is individual instruction. Correct, no? In Ayurveda, there are general good instructions for everybody. But there are specific individual instructions given to everybody. Similarly, Guru also gives general instructions in his lectures and individual instructions to the individual devotees also. Those who meet him, come across him and ask him for certain inquiries. And also, you can see that when we talk about the orders of Guru, there are some orders which are principles. For example, smartavyam satatam vishnum vismartavyam najatuchit. Everybody has to follow this. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Correct, no? It's an eternal principle. It is for everyone to follow. It's a principle. But then there are some details which can change also. Principles cannot be avoided, but the details can be changed. When it comes to details, that is where many disciples can commit mistakes. For example, there is the instructions have to be taken seriously, but the instructions have to be understood first. Like once Prabhupada gave a class, a devotee of the Lord chants the holy name of the Lord 24 hours a day. As soon as the devotee heard it, he started chanting after the class. He never stopped. He never ate also that day. Whole night he was sitting and chanting. Any devotee would go near him, shh, Prabhuji, don't disturb. Prabhupada said, chant 24 hours. Now I cannot stop till my last breath I am going to chant. So 2-3 days he chanted, he got sick. And the news went to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, your lecture has created a great trouble. Please help this devotee. And Prabhupada called the devotee and said, what is the meaning of 24 hours chanting? Prabhupada, satatam kirtayantoma. That doesn't mean you are with the bidu bhagatram, you don't sleep, you don't eat, you don't go to bathroom. That is not 24 hours. 24 hours means you chant 2 hours and rest of the time you engage in devotional service. And while engaging, muhume naam, hatme kaam. You have to do both. Like then. So, and Prabhupada explained, then he understood. So, sometimes we can misunderstand the instruction of spiritual master also. Correct, no? Another time, one Mataji was having written in the lips, Hare Krishna, like that in her lips. Another Mataji asked, what is Mataji have in your lips, Hare Krishna? Prabhupada told me, your mouth should be always decorated with the holy name. No? So decorated. She said, you see, how nicely she followed the instruction, you see.
This Deval Doshi was their devotee.
Yeah.
He chanted his first round for 2.5 hours.
Achha?
Because he was chanting, he thought that how you can chant in 2 hours. Took me 2.5 hours. He was chanting in Hare Krishna tune.
Hare Krishna. Singing and chanting, huh? Correct. Slowly, isn't it? Yeah. So, in this way, sometimes the details of the instruction may be taken little. Actually, this is and then other devotee said, Prabhupada, we can distribute more books if you go like a hippie. Keep a long hair, mustache and beard and wear blazers and everything. And go amongst the people, look like one of them and suddenly you open the suitcase and release a book. They don't mind accepting because they think you are one amongst them. And Prabhupada heard everybody attentively. And then he asked, what do you all think we should do? And somebody said, Prabhupada, we should allow brahmacharis to go like this and distribute. And others said, no, Prabhupada, it's not proper. And then Prabhupada gave his verdict finally. He said, You see, brahmachari should be clean-shaved. They should wear neck beads. They should carry the bead bag and dress in the devotional attire. And Krishna will help them. You just go and distribute books. Why should we reduce our standard? And then Prabhupada showed one man in the corner of the street was passing urine. Even he doesn't change his standard. Why should we change? He knows that all public is watching. Still he passes urine every day there. So everybody in this world, they do what they want to do. So we will do what we have to do. We are representing Krishna. You know, why should we compromise? Prabhupada asked. So Prabhupada in this way guided the devotees, especially when it came to certain detail which he wanted the devotees to follow. So some devotees think that, you know, ultimately bhav is only important. If you have bhav, that is actually the spirit. Don't become too rigidly attached to rituals. Don't become like ritualistic like a brahmana. So those devotees who were focusing only on the spirit, they slowly stopped attending Mangalarti. They stopped coming to Shringar Darshan. Shringar Darshan, altar would open. Govindam Adi Purusham. Hardly anybody would be there. One or two devotees would be there. Many people thought that, you know. Anyway, even if we don't perform all these rituals, we are fond of Krishna. Ultimately, we are Krishna's property only. So they did not take the ritual seriously. Because morning program is rituals, correct, no? You know, dancing, singing, taking arati, darshan. Is it not true? Worshipping the deities and bowing down to the deities. There are many rituals mentioned. Attending Bhagavatam class. They said, Prabhupada said, you know, we have to study Bhagavatam. Whether we attend the class or we study ourselves, what is the difference? Basically, we have to awaken our rati for Krishna. So they said, instead of going to Bhagavatam class, I will study in my own room. Then the result is, you study in the room and you go to sleep there. So, in this way, in the name of spirit, certain people compromised on their rituals. One example is Bharat Maharaj. He became attached to the deer. And he compromised on his rituals in the morning. Vedic rituals. Correct, no? And the result, he became a deer. Similarly, you see Romaharshana Sutta thought that, you know, Balramji has come. You know, the spirit is, you have to respect. Even if you don't get off the Vyasasana and bow down. It's a small detail, he thought. It was not a small detail. It was a very important detail. Once Ramapad Maharaj was telling. He went to one temple. One Brahmachari said, Vanchakalp Maharaj. And he was telling one devotee. Maharaj said, what is this new style? You know, like this is Vanchakalp Maharaj. He was doing. So Maharaj said, as the years progress, then some people degrade more. He was telling. So, in this way, he was telling, there is a ritual. When you see sannyasi, you offer full pranam. Correct, no? Ashtanga pranam you offer. So, this is not an ordinary detail. This is an important detail. Correct, no? So, there is a saying in English, the devil is in the details. It is said. Because sometimes the detail may appear to be a small detail, but it is a very important detail. So, blind fanatical following is condemned. At the same time, in the name of spirit, not following the rituals is also condemned. That's why Niyamagraha we say blind fanatical following is condemned, and also not following the spiritual principles, thinking that I know the spirit, that is also condemned. And when we go too much to bhav aspect, we become sahajyas. When we go to too much ritualistic aspect, we become smartha brahmanas. Ritualistic. If one focuses on empty rituals without understanding the spirit behind the rituals, then one becomes a smartha brahman only. If one says, oh, bhav hai toh sab kuch hai. If you have, oh, you know, I can, like, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day was lying in his bed. It became 5:36 and Govinda came and shook him. Okay, my dear Lord, do you want to go for darshan of Jagannath? And Mahaprabhu opened the eyes and told Govinda, Govinda, why did you get me up? I was seeing Krishna on the top of Govardhan Hill, surrounded by beautiful cows and calves. He was playing on his flute. And at the foot of the Govardhan Hill, I saw the gopis. Such a beautiful sight. I was in Vrindavan. Why did you wake me and bring me back to this place? He started crying, you know, Mahaprabhu. So in this way, in the Mangalarti time, Mahaprabhu was actually seeing Krishna. He had a vision of Krishna like that. Imagine if a brahmachari doesn't get up in the morning till 7 o'clock, you shake him up and say, oh, I am seeing Vrindavan, can you say? I have the bhav. So which is better for us? to come in time and attend the rituals is better, or to be like Mahaprabhu in the bed is better? First one is better, correct, no? Because we know we are not Mahaprabhu. We are not even Prabhu also, we are Dasana Das. Huh? Isn't it? Correct, no? So, that is why some people, they think they have the bhav and they don't need the rituals. Mm-hmm. They can just do away with the rituals. And they may even criticize those who are performing rituals as ritualistic. And the end result is what? Gradually, one by one, they give up the practice of doing rituals. What happens when you give up the practice of doing rituals? Then over a period of time, it's difficult to do them consciously, you know, with the endeavor, when we give up the rituals. We develop a habit of giving up the rituals, correct, no? And the result is, bhav bhi nahi, ritual bhi nahi, dono gaya. Correct, no? On the other hand, one is very ritualistic, too rigid about rituals, fanatical about following, like I told those two examples, Hare Krishna and the lips are, you know, such strictly following only rigid rituals, without understanding the spirit behind the rituals, then such rituals also create hard-heartedness also. And they become like smartha brahmanas, like the yagnik brahmanas. They were offering all the ahuti in the yajna kund and everything, performing yajna. And that is actually performed for whom? Yajnavai Vishnuhu. It's performed for the pleasure of Vishnu, Purushottama, Lord, and that Lord has come in the garden. Imagine, a wife is keeping the photo of an army officer, her husband, with a beautiful mustache and a cap, you know, and every day she puts a, you know, arati for him, she's showing and chandan and everything. She's remembering her husband and worshipping the photo. And one day the husband has come, he's battering the door. He's calling the wife's name. Please open the door. She says, no, don't disturb me, you know, I'm worshipping your photo, if she says. How foolish it is, huh? He himself has come now. She should open the door and welcome him inside. Similarly, Lord has come in the garden of these brahmanas and they are not going to meet him. Rather, they are busy with the rituals in the yajna kund. You can see that, no? So, this is ritualistic. So, the reason I told you this, amongst the anudita viveka jivas, the brahmanas are considered the best. Anudita viveka means their bhakti understanding or the bhakti spirit has not yet awakened in their hearts. They don't know Krishna tattva, Radha tattva, bhakti tattva, rasa tattva. They don't know anything. They are anudita viveka. Anudita viveka means that type of viveka has not arisen. Amongst all those human beings, the brahmanas are considered the best because they perform Gayatri and they perform purification. Their understanding of God may be either multiple manifestations of demigods or the impersonal Brahman. And they don't know Krishna as the singular supreme Lord and Krishna as the only shelter. And that they don't know. You understand, no? And that is why these brahmanas in that type of goodness, like in Pune, if any of you go to Sadashivpet, you will find a big number of brahmanas. But you know, if you liberate one of them, it is greater than liberating Jagayamadaya also. It's very difficult. Because Jagayamadaya at least had fear of the chakra and he surrendered to Mahaprabhu. But in this way, in South India also, there are many, many brahmanas who used to come to Giriraj Maharaj, who used to argue with Giriraj Maharaj in those days about who is supreme. Because they think they have studied little bit and they know something of the scriptures. Oftentimes they may be either caught up in ritualistic worship or demigod worship or the Brahman understanding or some kind of meditation or some kind of be good, do good program. That knowledge, sukha sangena badnati, because their life is relatively purer to rajaguna, tamaguna, because of not committing any sinful activities, they don't suffer also much. They are living very decent, happy material lives. So he says, sukha sangena badnati, jnana sangena chanaga, he says. Our bhakti, what is his name? One Maharaj was teaching us, he says, no vikaras of desire or hate. That is, raga dvesha is not there. Happiness or distress, envy, etc. Therefore, peaceful. Which means, see, when you read about rajaguna, tamaguna, then this point will become clear. In rajaguna, you will see the raga or the passion is there. And because of passion, the raga dvesha comes. There is aversion for some living entities and there is attachment for other living entities.
and there is an attachment for honor, prestige and everything, that kind of things. And but in Sattvaguna he says that they are above it. Hmm? He says that there are no such vikaras. Huh? They are equipoised. The covering is less, he is saying. You know the covering verse? Dhumena birate vanhir, there is one verse. Yatolbe namale nacha. Yata darsho. In that verse, three examples he gives. What is that? One example he gives is... first one is fire covered by smoke, and then he gives mirror covered by dust, and then child covered by embryo. So in this sattvaguna is which one? Fire covered by smoke. Fire covered by little smoke. So he put a long rod, let it blow, then the smoke goes away. Only fire remains. Correct? So we have to enrich goodness. The more we enrich goodness, then the smoke will go away very easily. And also the smoke gives an indication that there must be fire. Correct, no? If in some place smoke is coming, the smoke comes from fire only, no? Correct, no? Little fire and then more smoke may come. Correct, no? And then what is the other example? What is the other one? Mirror covered by dust. So if mirror is covered by dust, you can't see your face. See, there are two things he explains there, form and function. So... mirror has a form, but the function is impaired. Correct, no? Fire has form also, function also. Both. But mirror has a form. This is the form of the mirror. But function is impaired by the dust. So you take a wet cloth and you punch it, then you can clearly see the face. So the covering has to be removed. Then the third example is the child in the womb. The form of the child is also not seen. And the function is also not seen. Absolutely. It's completely. So there is tamoguna. It's a very deep covering. Another example Prabhupada gives is that grass, dry grass. When dry grass, you put a little spark of fire, immediately it picks up. So sattvaguna is like that. So he's saying here that because covering is less, so then the knowledge, they can become wise if they are willing to listen, if they are willing to learn. Then they can become wise. But one defect he is saying, as long as they are speculating and justifying what their own understanding, they will remain far away from Krishna. Like that he is saying. As long as they have the justifying mode. You see, actually, these people have to be taught only based on Shastric evidences. When I met Bhaktisambhava Maharaj first time, I was attending the classes. So, I asked him the question about whether Lord is personal or impersonal. So, he told me to read the three verses of 12th chapter. First three verses. What is the first verse? Evam satata yukta ye bhaktastvam paryupasate ye chapyaksharam avyaktam Tesham ke yoga vittama. You know the meaning of this? He's saying that, my dear Lord Krishna, Arjuna is asking. There are two types of people who worship you. Some people worship you with great shraddha, faith. Bhaktas tvam paryupasate. They are bhaktas, your bhaktas. And the other people worship you as Omkar, Brahman. Out of these two, whose worship is superior? Directly, Arjuna asks the question. And then Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lord is telling. What he says? That comes a little later. No, that is a later verse. We will recite those few verses. Maya Vesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetas Te me yukta tamo mataha. He's telling, Maya Vesha Mano Yamam. Those people who are attached to me and they worship me every day, every moment, and with great transcendental faith, they are superior, he's saying. And then in Shraddhaya, Parayapetas, Te me yukta tamo mataha. And then he's saying, Yetvaksharam anirdeshyam. Avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gamachintyam cha kutastham achalam dhruvam samniyamyendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te praapnuvanti maameva sarvabhuta hiteratah klesho adikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktahi gatir dukham dehavad biravapyate. So in these verses, very beautifully Maharaj explained to me that time. You see, there are two paths you can take. Bhaktirasant Maharaj. In those days, we used to call him Devamritpur. He told, see, you can take two paths. He said, you want to go to Brahma Jyoti or you want to go into Vaikuntha? He asked. That is the first time I understood the difference between the two. You know, gave the example of government. You can be under the government of India or you can be a son of the Prime Minister of India. You have the choice. Whom you want to be. You want to be personally related with the Lord or you want to just be a part of His government. He said, Jnanis are not allowed entry beyond Brahma Jyoti. Krishna keeps them in His Kanti only. But Bhaktas are allowed to reciprocate with Him one to one personally. And then He told me from Upanishads, many verses He quoted, this one. Vedāgametam purusham mahantam adityavaranam tamasapparastat tammeva vidvānati mrityumeti nānyapanta vidyate ayana. Beautiful verse. It's all talking about Purushottama. So He said, who is Purushottama? Is Krishna or Vishnu or Ram? I told all the three also. So I was deeply satisfied. And then 15th chapter He showed me that Purushottam Yoga verse where Krishna says that Kshara and Akshara. And I am beyond both. Atosmi. He said that Yasmat Charam Atitoham Aksharadapicha Uttamah. I am beyond Aksharas also. That was a turning point for me. That one particular verse. Yasmat Charam Atitoham. I am beyond the fallible souls, everybody knows. But I am beyond the Aksharas also, infallible souls also. Ataha asmi loke vedecha pratyah purushottama. Therefore, I am called Purushottama. So, you and I are not Purushottama. We are not even Purusha. We are Prakriti actually. And Krishna is Purusha Uttama. He said. So, the best thing I liked in Him was the convincing logic with which He would explain. And then I was clean bold after that. After that, I could accept the bhakti path very, very easily after that. So, in the same manner, I find that there are many people who have a lot of misconceptions about Krishna, about bhakti path, about the ISKCON movement, or the practice of bhakti also. So, as we go and distribute books and reach out to people, there are two ways to distribute books. One is, you can do mass scale. You know, you just place an order, 1,000 Gitas will go away sometimes, you know. You call somebody and they have a marriage or something, they will take it, you know. Like Revati Prabhu called somebody, 450 Bhagavatas went. Somebody took it like that. That is also good. But sometimes going one-to-one, if you encounter some Mayavadi, you know, if you deliver them, you will make Prabhupada especially very happy. Even myself also, if I didn't meet Bhagavatam Maharaj, I don't know which organization I would have joined. I would have joined Ramakrishna Mission or Chinmaya Mission mostly, you know. Because I met these people, they cleared my dust in my intellect at the right time and they brought me out of that. Otherwise, I would have gone in a wrong direction. So, there are many, many children in India coming from Brahmana families and all. They are all misled because they think they know. They have been carried away. Some are, like in IIT when I was studying, there was a group of 20 boys with whom I also used to go and chant this Rudram Chamakam and everything. So, we used to have a temple Padmavati temple. So such a beautiful recitation they would do. So I was a part of that group until I joined Bhaktasana Maharaj's group. After I came to the classes, I found this more interesting because there only you can recite the verse. Just go on reciting 2 hours, 3 hours Vedic chant, you know. And the vibration will be very nice. You will feel very nice. You will feel as if you are floating, you know. You will feel like that. But then here I got knowledge also, proper knowledge, you know. And that too, bhakti knowledge. Very wonderful. So, there even professors come, where they wear dhoti, kurta and put all that, and they come in the temple and they sit. So, I used to wish that someday all of these fellows would become devotees. So nice. So, preaching to people who may be
complacent and satisfied in sattva guna. It's like difficult to get them to advance. Like there was one of our boys studying in Cornell University. So he wrote a mail to me saying that they have a Hindu society club, Hindu music club or something. Sorry, Hindu students club, HSC they have. But they come, they do different devatas, kirtans and everything. So he tried to give them knowledge for almost 13, 14 students he got from that, out of 50, to come for his program later on. But the idea is, as Krishna says, sukha sangena badnati, jnana sangena. So they get jnana, which yields them sukha. So that point also is, he says here. So Krishna is supreme source of all wisdom. I was recently reading one Chaitanya Charanpur's article. See, very beautiful point he says. The wise of the wise, he's saying. The wise of the wise. V-I-C-E of the W-I-S-E. What is the wise of the wise? You want to know what it is? He says, unwillingness to seek the aid of Shastra. Like that he says. That means, you know, modern day so-called advanced writers and readers, they think they know better than Shastra also. They are in their own foolish world. So their philosophy is not philosophy, it's called philosophy. Yeah, because they speculate a lot. So today we discussed about the sattva-guna aspect. Then there is also rajaguna, tamaguna and subsequent verses. But I would like to summarize every class in 5 to 10 minutes so at the end, so that we don't miss out on what we discussed in summary. Any of you? What did we discuss first today? As soon as I began this. What is conditioned we were discussing? Yeah, we are all conditioned in a certain type of body. Like an aquatic body or a bird's body or a dog's body. And the body puts restrictions in our movements. Like a tree cannot even move from place to place. It's called achara. And amongst the chara moving ones, some can swim, some can fly, some has to walk. Everybody cannot do everything. Like when you play chess game, you have certain type of movement. Carom game, different type of movement. Correct, no? So, as soon as you get into agreement with another person to play a game, then you are bound by the rules of the game. Like correct cricket you play, there's a particular way of playing it. Is it not? Volleyball you play, different type. Similarly, every body puts certain type of restriction for you to act in certain way. You agree to occupy a certain type of body for fulfilling your desires for enjoyment, then you have to follow the laws of that body. Correct, no? You can't escape. So that is actually the condition. And it's a condition because we are away from the spiritual world. We don't have freedom in this world. Yeah. What else?
Yes.
Yes, we know. Yeah, correct. You think we know. That is true, yeah. So in India, there is one very big disease. Many people think destiny is supreme. Destiny is everything. They say, if you do good, you will get good. If you do bad, you will get bad. And they think even God is under it. They think like that. Even Ram and Krishna, unko, tako Ram ko bhi rona pada. Unke takdir mein jo likha hoga. They think like that. People, itne bade murkha hain people. Krishna says, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phales priha, itimam yobi janati, karma bir nasabadyate. Are, if somebody knows that I am not bound by karma, even he is not bound, he is saying. What to speak of the Lord? So, this type of people are propagating wrong philosophies. So, they think they know. That is a disease. Very good. Anything else after that? Oh, you already spoke. Somebody else can speak also. Correct. So the third offense I was elaborating. Why? Because sometimes we may think we know it, but many times we don't know it. So there are, what did I say in that? You can say some points in that. Very.
Sometimes people mistake, like the orders, they misinterpret in a different way. You gave two examples. The lady had written Hare Krishna. And the person was chanting Hare Krishna for 24, like 24 hours.
So what is this following called as? Fanatic and blind following. Yeah, correct. Yes, as opposed to, which is the other side?
Like, understand the mood behind it.
Mood or the spirit behind it, correct. Yes, yes.
You mentioned that devotees are in the middle and two extremes
Yeah. Actually, what do we need? Rituals or we need the spirit? Which one we need?
Both.
We need both. That is why that Niyamagraha says that, you know, one should not neglect the spiritual, you know, and the rules and regulations also. One should not neglect spiritual life. At the same time, one should not do fanatical blind following also, without understanding the spirit. We need a combination of both. So it is said one should follow the orders of the Guru in letter and spirit. Letter of the law and spirit of the law. Both we have to follow.
Like, you know, doing the sadhana bhakti with consciousness.
Correct.
Only for
correct. Yes. Yes, both have to be there.
Only have
correct. And that is what happens. There are many, many instructions we receive. And in the application, many people commit mistakes. While applying the instructions, many can commit. They, most often, people will gravitate towards those things in the Guru's order, which will be very natural according to their scripts, which are natural according to their old habits. Somebody may emphasize on rituals, somebody may emphasize on spirit more. You understand? We tend to go like a pendulum. Actually, we have to balance both. Yeah, we have to carry both.
Principles and details.
Principles and details, correct. Yes, sir.
I have one question. Now, we know that this combination, that is the devotee, is the best of the three.
Yes.
There
is a gradation. I told also, like for example, one is a sahajya. One focuses, one says that I know everything. I bhav hi sab kuch hai, bhav se upar kuch nahi hai. So if you have bhav, you have everything. They say like that. Baki sub karne ki zarurat nahi hai. So they become sahajyaik. They take it very cheaply. On the other side, one may become like a smart brahmana, you know, sticking to the rituals, like the yajnik brahman example we gave. Correct, no? And they don't get across. They don't come to the ultimate goal. So sahajiyas get into wrong habits and everything. Krishna never says you wear sari. If you are a male, you wear a sari and look like a gopi. He says you wear sari, you become a gopi in your heart, not just external. Gopi bhav is important than wearing a sari, you know, putting a shawl. Saki baki, you know, saki baki people, they wear sari.
Sahajiyas means expecting salary without work.
Sahajiyas expect salary without work. Yes, correct.
Which is worse?
Both extremes are dangerous, no? They don't. Correct. We need to cap. See, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught a lot on this. This particular aspect. See, one old version lady is climbing on his shoulder. She is offending Garuda also. She is offending the Lord also. One leg on devotee, one leg on the Lord. Still the Lord said, just look at her. How with what eagerness she is taking the darshan of Jagannath. I wish I have such enthusiasm like her, he said. So he appreciated the bhav. You know, correct? No? At the same time, when Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, I want to go and see Krishna dancing on Kaliya, he gave him a loving slap. He said, where is it said that, you know, Krishna comes in Kaliya, correct? He said, don't imagine like this, you know, you better do your duties here. You know, you better chant Krishna's name instead of going and trying to watch Krishna. So, Mahaprabhu actually is very balanced. You will see that, although he himself exhibited bhava and everything, when it comes to following, he himself chanted in Nimlital, sitting and chanting, till noon, every day. Correct, no? So, Sankhya Purvaka, Nama Gana Natibi, what is that? All the six persons followed the rituals very properly. In fact, very first line says, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Parau Prema Amritam Bhonidhi. They did Krishna Utkirtan. Loudly they sang Krishna's names and they danced. So chanting and dancing is actually very natural for devotees. So all the rituals, Sankhya Purvaka Namakanam, they followed all the same counts also of chanting.
Difference between following rituals without bhav is that it feels a burden.
Correct, that is true. That's true, yeah. So that is why many, many times, so when we talk about the Brahmins in the mode of goodness, who are Anutita Vivek, they don't know these details. They may follow the ritual. Like how many of you, if you knew Sandhyavandan before, people do just Sandhyavandan. Trisandhya they do, no? It's more of a show than, you know, elevating somebody. You know? Many times. Yeah? And it also produces a kind of pride that comes from, you know, being born in a Brahmana family, we do Sandhya. Rituals.
Other festivals like Navratri.
Yeah, correct.
They don't know why they are doing.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Like, you know, like we had a group in South India, we used to chant the Vedic mantras. small boys, you know, a few group of people used to come and chant. So when we would chant, many elders would come and appreciate, hey, these boys are chanting such spashta Sanskrit. So we'd close our eyes and chant, one night we will watch, who are all watching us? Who are all appreciating? You know? So you're more interested in who is appreciating than pleasing the Lord. Huh? So that is why Vaishnava philosophy means Varnashram Acharat Purushena Parapuman. What is that last line? Vishnur Aradita Panta Nanyat Tat Dosha Karanam. Pleasing Lord Vishnu is the most important thing. Correct, no? Yeah. It's not ostentatious demonstration or display, you see. Yes. Motivator.
Yeah.
And also some bhavuk bhakti is there. And if we do the justification for a prolonged period of time, gradually that habit goes away. Correct. That is true.
So in that scenario,
it's not very good to lose that fear. So we should, that is why we should have that fear. Actually, we should have that, we should think that I have to make a blend of both. Spirit is also important. Spirit is also important and rituals are also important. Actually, these kind of subtleties are explained in Vaishnava Siddhant. Like Hari Bhakti Vilas, for example. These kind of details are explained. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Very, very amazing. Like seeing the essence behind the externals. Avadhut Brahman was seen by Prahalad. You know? And Prahalad was seen by... Avadhut Brahman was very fat man. Prahalad Maharaj said, I think Lord Narayana must be maintaining you. Otherwise, how can he be so fat? He said. He didn't say that, you know, he must be eating and sleeping. He didn't say that. And Avadhut Brahman also saw Prahalad. He didn't see him as a king. He said, you are a pure devotee of Narayana. I would like to associate with you and speak to you for my purification, he said. So seeing the essence behind externals. So this is all Vaishnava Siddhant. Seeing essence behind externals. It's very amazing. This kind of Siddhanta, many of the people in Sattva Guna don't know in India. This is all very, very high level. For the Brahmanas, many times they are all in their small world of little knowledge. That makes them proud. Anything else you all remember today we were talking? He brought a good point then. Yes, Prabhu? Biharish Prabhu.
You said the difference between Jnani and pure devotee.
Correct.
And pure devotee is the concern and love.
Yes.
And through that, you know, it gives the teaching and guidance.
Yes.
But a Jnani is all very dry. And
yes.
That produces like a news reporter.
News reporter. That's why we read Prabhupada's purports. Because there are many Bhagavad Gita purports where they don't talk about Krishna Arjuna at all. It's like licking a honey bottle from outside. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave that example. Thank you, very nice. We can take one or two points from Mataji's side also. They should be given a chance also. You have any other points, Mataji's? Yes, correct. Yeah, correct, very true. That's true. Even you all do that for your counselees also, correct, no? You may give a general class. But then you may meet a counselee personally and according to the problem they are undergoing, you may give individual instruction. So that is on behalf of spiritual master, you give them individual instruction like that. So they have to be, that detail has to be taken seriously. That's crucial for our advancement. If individual instruction is given to us. Correct, no? Then, so I just took one point of following the order of spiritual master and wanted to show how shallow is this goodness. Mode of goodness platform of many of the brahmanas. They think they know, they don't know, they hardly know. That's why Brahmaji told Krishna that they cannot know you. By speculation, nobody can. Addiction to speculation is a disease which is useless in approaching Krishna. That they taught. Srila Prabhupada ki.